Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass.
And here we are into the offseason. As Sean Grandy says there, the questions can begin. So let's go right to the source. Owner of the Boston Celtics, Wick Grosbeck, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, joining us now on the program. Wick, how are you?
Man, Grandy made that sound super serious. I got to really buckle down here.
Well, if you ever listen, pretty much every time he comes back from a commercial break, there's a serious story there attached to it. So
always.
Nothing new with that.
He brings the majesty of the whole thing, and he's right. It was disappointing from the start, up and down this season from the start. The levity, though, of the last 20 minutes of listening to you guys to get ready for this interview was fantastic, to hear how rigged everything is. And I really took it as a great compliment that they rigged it in my favor 2 years ago.
Well, so
I was standing there with the number one card, so I'm quite complimented. I'm really super psyched.
How do you feel about that, even though it may or may not be?
It's complete nonsense. It's complete clickbait. It's Maz saying, listen to me, I want to go viral. You know, and I love you, Maz, but it's just complete nonsense.
Okay, but do you understand? There are a large portion of your fans, NBA fans, maybe the majority of NBA fans, Wick, who don't think it's on the up and up. So whether it is or not, put that to the side.
It's nowhere near a majority. I mean, I have no problem going back and forth, and I think it's all in good fun, and it's a game after all, but we all take it seriously. But I bet you I think we had a bad referee a decade ago and went to jail, and that's serious stuff. But the lottery being rigged they wouldn't have given the guy to a small market. They would have given it to New York or L.A., whatever. I just don't think it's even close, and I think it's probably 4% of people think that, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not really a major debate. I mean, we got plenty of things to talk about.
Wick, I want you to be honest. When you saw that the Lakers had jumped up high in the order last night, what was your initial gut reaction?
My gut reaction is that I have one job on this earth other than, well, my son is blind and I'm trying to cure blindness at Mass High and Air, but I have two jobs on this earth, and one of them is to stay ahead of the Lakers in number of championships. And so I was not happy.
And not nowhere in the back of your mind said, this thing's freaking rigged. You said it. don't lie. You said it. All right, okay. So I did.
All right, great.
So it's been a week since the season ended. What were your emotions with the way this ended for your team, Wick?
It was really tough. It was really, really, like every fan, I mean, I really am a fan. We, the ownership group, we're all fans, truly. And we're all annoyed and upset and disappointed, and I feel like there was a mismatch between the talent that we had on paper and the way that it was expressed on the court, whatever. I mean, the actual and the potential, there was a gap. And, you know, the toughest part maybe is that we ended the season pretty well, and then we won five playoff games in a row. We swept Indiana, and then, you know, sitting right there courtside watching us thump them on the road in Milwaukee in game one and getting home court back. So those five games were, it wasn't back and forth. We beat Indiana and we beat Milwaukee in game one, and then we lost four in a row and got blown out. So pretty frustrating for everybody concerned, not least of all the players. I talked to them all, talked to just about every one of them after the game, and then in the coming day or two after that, if nothing else, to say thanks and see you later. And, nobody was happy.
When you say you were annoyed, what specifically annoyed you the most?
I start by looking in the mirror and saying, what could I have done better? And did we, meaning those of us responsible for putting the team together, led by Brad and Danny, but signed off on by me, so also responsibility here. Did we construct it correctly? Did we course correct it? No, we didn't. We went right through the trading deadline? What did we decide? I know I remember things that I said along the way and things that Danny Brad said, which we're going to keep all private, just, you know, discussions of different things we could have done. But the point is, you got to start with, I'll start with me. Brad wanted to start with him. You know, he said, I did a bad job, I think he said, or I could have done better. And, you know, we all try to have a culture of accountability and take responsibility. But anyway, it's now time to take from now till July and try to construct a team that's going to do better next year.
So I'm not asking you to finger point, okay, in terms of naming individual people, and I don't think you would do that anyway. But
can I point at you, Matt?
Sure. By all means, I'll take all the blame you want. But if I were to say to you, forget about who undermined the season, like what undermined the season? Why wasn't this team able to play to its potential? If you were to look at that analytically in a basketball sense, what undermined this team?
So I've got two great people who are actually taking this week, last week and this week, to really think that through and really study it and really give like professional level recommendations on that. And we're going to really meet about that next week. I'm not trying to evade the question. I will tell you from my seat near the, you know, watching it, I felt like it just wasn't knitting together. And then it did knit together for five games in a row, and then it fell apart again. I've got some ideas about what I might hear next week when we talk about it. What we're really going to do is go player by player and say, you know, who are we going to build around going forward and what are our options? And we've got some layups and we've got some, you know, three-point shots that we could hit, and maybe we've got a half-court shot or two to try to hit. But in other words, there's some easy decisions and there's probably some harder decisions, and we're going to actually have to take the time to decide, in a sense, what the roster looks like. You know, I was trying to answer the question, but anyway, I don't have specifics for you other than it didn't mesh together. It was like a really great car, but the you know, it just wasn't quite assembled, or it just didn't quite run the way you would think it would have run. And it was pretty frustrating because we had a lot of potential and we showed it at times, and other times it just fell apart.
When you say two people, it's obviously Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, who you're referring to, right? Just to be sure.
Yeah, Brad and Danny run the basketball side, and with good reason. They're as good as it gets, in my opinion, and very glad we have them.
Well, Wick, let me just give you one specific. Do you think you may have overlooked the role of chemistry or personality or really just the off-court element to your team? And is that what makes it most frustrating, is that you had the talent?
Yeah.
You, for the most part, had health, but you didn't have, you know, that other thing. And, you know, have you looked at that other thing?
Well, we didn't ignore it. There's also I want to be really straightforward. I don't want to be defensive or like evade responsibility. I just want to tell you that like when the 07-08 team came together, you know, the question was, how was Garnett going to play with Pierce, going to play with Allen, which are three completely different personalities. And then Rajon was in his second year or something. And was that going to mesh? And was it going to mesh well? And it really did. And Kevin led it in many ways. And then Paul led it in other ways. And then Ray came through. And then Rondo was the point. But, like, the chemistry, you can't really say beforehand that it's going to work or not. And so we didn't know going in we had a chemistry problem. In fact, we had good chemistry in the playoffs last year. It looked like things were working. And then we added more people to the mix this year, you know, Gordon getting healthier and Kyrie getting healthier, coming back from two knee surgeries. And we thought it would, you know, work better than it did. Anyway, so it's not like we said, the hell with chemistry. We know this is a mess, but we're going to try to get out of it with talent. We didn't know it was a mess. It turned out to be, at times, really good, and at times, more of a mess.
Wick Grosbeck, Celtics owner, joining us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Wick, Annie Ainge said at one point during the regular season that your relationship with Kyrie Irving is an engagement, not a marriage. So I ask you, is the engagement still on, as far as you know?
I'm not going to comment on, as I said, emailing you guys before, really not going to talk about specific guys except in real generalities. Kyrie's given us 2 years of strong effort. He's going to decide what he's going to do down the road. He hasn't commented publicly, so I'm going to respect that.
Have you spoke to him?
I have spoken to him.
So have you had talks with he and his people, and has there been a dialogue, or is it just sort of a see you later, have a good offseason, we'll, you know, don't call us, we'll call you? What was the name? Have there been ongoing talks, I guess, is my question.
Sorry, not going to comment on that. But this is a process that will go through longer than this week. And I'd also step back and just have more of a general comment, which is a lot of the stuff that's out on the internet, on the net, about almost anything, oftentimes, if you trace it down when you can, it comes from agents. And it doesn't necessarily come from the agent of a player that is referenced. So there's reasons, there's agendas. If someone's saying somebody's going somewhere, it might actually benefit this guy's player who's trying to get a job somewhere else.
Well, so, we're all going to read
I'm just telling you, the stuff that's out there in many cases, not all, but in many cases, I mean, it doesn't make any sense for anybody, a free agent, to really leak stuff or anything else. And then it's other people with agendas trying to, and stuff comes out and then it's immediately debunked. The stuff out there from now till July 1st is going to be at least 50% made up.
Okay, but how it's going to play. Kyrie committed to you before the season began. Then when Danny's asked in the middle of the year, well, it's an engagement, not a marriage, and now you won't answer the question. So it feels like it's going in a certain direction.
I was never going to answer this question. I haven't answered it all year long. So I'm not going in any direction. I don't talk about players until they're signed up, if I can help it, unless I forget myself.
Wait, can we assume that the team wants Kyrie back?
I'm just not going to comment about anybody on the roster in that. We've got 15 guys, and we're going to evaluate all of them, and I'm not going to comment on one person and then not comment on another because it's going to send a negative or positive signal. Just don't want to do it.
Okay. One of the other things I wanted to ask you that I sort of made a mental note of was obviously Danny had a health scare there in Milwaukee at the beginning of that series. And I feel compelled to ask, this is a second heart attack, right? And I wonder, it's a stressful job. Is there any concern on your end that it might be in his best interest to do something less stressful? In other words, is Danny Ainge still going to run the Celtics? Do you believe that?
Well, I'll just tell you how I feel about Danny. His medical stuff and personal stuff, sort of laws and everything else, HIPAA, the law and all that, you really can't talk about anybody's medical stuff. The players consent to us telling the public some things about their player stuff, but that's not the case with other, regular citizens. Danny is a super important piece of this. He's the person I would give the most credit to for any success we've had over the last 15 years. And second to none, and is my first and only concern is for him and his any decision he makes. But any medical stuff, you just got to go with him.
Wick, how do you feel?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, Brad Stevens, and your thoughts on him. I know how high you hold him high regard that you hold him. Do you think, though, he still has some learning to do at the NBA level? Do you think that this year was an adjustment for him as it was for maybe all of you?
Well, I definitely still have some learning to do because I was surprised that we lost the last four games of the season. I think Brad made a real effort to take a ton of responsibility for anything negative that happened during the season. And so, Brad just does that. He probably believes it. And I probably think the rest of us probably feel like Brad, did his best and things happened. So I have no question that Brad's is probably right there, right this second, watching film, watched it all night. He's watched the series over 10 times, at least. And he's including on the flight. I was with him on the flight back from Boston and he was watching the game that we had just lost, which is the last thing on earth I will ever watch. But Brad's in there watching it. And so anyway, he's self-aware and he's self-critical and that's why he's so good.
And you know what I mean, though? Was this the year he realized the NBA really isn't Butler?
I think he's gotten NBA players. Let me just answer it straight on. He's gotten serious NBA players from all different teams coming in here and he's given a lot of them, helped a lot of them get to career years. Okay, so it's not coaching college kids or just coaching young kids. He's gotten career years out of veterans, and he's gotten all-star years out of people. And there are people who swear by him. Nearly everybody who's played for him says, this is the guy for me. And so I guess I feel like it's too easy to just go, well, is he finally learning the NBA's difference 6 years in? No, he's been in the playoffs 4 or 5 years out of six. He's done well. We've won some rounds. We go to 2 or 3 conference finals, but no further. But he knows how to win the NBA, and we're going to try to start it back up that way in October.
Can I ask it in this way? Was this, of the 6 years he's had in Boston, was this the hardest team to coach for him?
That's probably a good question for him. It was one of the hardest teams to love from my standpoint. It was, I'd just rather answer for myself. I wasn't coaching him, but I was watching him, and it was frustrating. It was a tough year for everybody concerned. I think the fans all feel that, and we're going to try to make it better. But we all feel that, and we, the highs and lows, and it just has been, it's been frustrating.
So, Wick, when we look at the team, and you yourself said we thought we had good chemistry last year, right? And we were just having this discussion the other day that it felt like everything last year on all levels was really working. So I wonder, did the run you made last spring, did the run the team made last spring complicate matters internally going into this year? Was that a factor?
Yeah, I have trouble figuring it out because it was a long time ago. And then we had all these games this year when everybody played and everybody had minutes. And yeah, I don't know. I really, it's a fair question. I can't figure out the answer. It's part of what I want to talk about next week. But we're really going to just go through the roster, the 15 guys, and say who's here. Who should we, should we move some of the guys? Should we re-sign these people? Or, you know, what are we going to do? And we start every kind of late May, we start with, or whenever it is, we start with sort of a clean slate and say, let's just put together the team for next year. It's really like a new movie with a new script and in some cases a new cast and hopefully a new ending. But I don't take it lightly. These are people's careers and their lives and their personal lives and their families. We don't just move around people for no reason, but we're trying to figure out who's here next year and who's not.
Do you have untouchables?
Well, I'm not going anywhere. So, yes, me.
Players, roster players that you say, and you obviously aren't going to give me a name, but do you have players on the roster that you say, nope, off limits?
Well, I think that's I don't like getting boxed in and then feeling like I misled you. And I've always said Danny would put his mother into a trade. I'd say that. And, Danny's the one, Danny really recommends the trades and then and probably owns them more than I do. So, great question for him.
How do you feel about the league in general, Wick? Again, I don't have the number, but what, 65, 70, 50, over 50% of players are free agents in one way, shape, or form this offseason, and just a slew of big names, and the movement's going to be off the charts, everyone thinks.
Yeah.
Is this all good for the league, or how do you feel about it?
I love the league. I'm really happy to be and feel very lucky to be part of it. And I was just with a really kind of well-known guy who sort of has well-respected opinions on leagues. We were talking about the different leagues. We just went, a business meeting, but we went down the various leagues. And he put the NBA at the top of it in terms of where it's going potentially over the next 10 years, 20 years, in terms of international and fan excitement and the quality of the game and the quality of the players and the media rights and all that stuff. That's all well and good, but we run this to try to put, banners in the rafters and, but the league overall, if you ask about the league overall, I think we have really good leadership with Adam. He's really good at rigging the draft, according to Maz.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do you worry that the players are running
really
it?
I'm really appreciative that he gave me the number one pick. It was my turn. No, but I'll in jest. But, I'm happy with the league. What I'm not happy with is our place in the league right now. We got to do better.
Do you worry that the players have too much control?
No, this is what happens. If we had a bunch of mediocre players, when I came in, they said, I wonder, Michael Jordan was just about to retire and on his second run. And they're like, well, how are they ever going to replace this guy? And we didn't replace Jordan, who I've gotten to know now is a really amazing guy. I'm like the best guy ever. But we didn't replace him, but we've got a game that has stars. I mean, like incredibly watchable stars who are global stars. And so when somebody becomes a global star, then they get power. But that's a good thing for all of us. If we can just keep partnered up, we have a partnership with the players, we split the revenues, and if we keep that going, we're going to be, everybody wins.
So, Wick, there's been a lot of emphasis on how this all ended. And you yourself said, we won 5 in a row, then we lost 4 in a row. In retrospect, Did you have concerns early on? Because it feels like these problems were there all year long. Did you see it early on that there were issues?
I don't think I would say that. I don't think I was that smart at this year. I think I said, we've got the talent, and this is the regular season. It's not like you're flipping a switch, but let's, you know, learn to play together and turn it on. And then, you know, then there's five in a row. So if I had any doubts, they were probably erased. As I was sitting there in Milwaukee, you know, we beat them by 20-something, whatever it was, but it was about 20 points. And so at that moment, I didn't have too many doubts. I'm like, oh, my God, this feels pretty great. So I'm not going to say I saw this coming, no.
Did you get angry? What? You get angry at your team? Angry at the players? I've never really sensed that from you ever. You have a very optimistic sort of existence over there. But, again, this was a team that really underachieved. Did you get angry at any point?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I can't sleep very well after losses. I mean, I don't know if it's anger or it's just, yeah, it's being upset. But it's not, you know, I take the blame for things. I mean, I like to take some of the credit when things go well, as you well know, because you've let me do it on your airwaves. So I got to take the blame.
But why would you take blame for a player underperforming?
Well, because I could have said, geez, I'm seeing this, guys. Aren't we all seeing this? I mean, we have meetings about basketball, and I could have said, let's make some changes. And we decided jointly to stay the course, and we've been disappointed.
Do you feel you underachieved? And when's the last time you felt that way about your team?
Let's see. Well, we've had a good run overall, but anyway, I do feel that this team, there was a mismatch between potential and actual, is the way I wanted to say it. We could have done better. We didn't. That doesn't mean people didn't try. It doesn't mean to me that they didn't try, that the players didn't try, the coaches didn't coach, whatever. It's not a question of effort. It just somehow didn't happen. I really do not exactly know why, and I do want to talk to my guys some more, which is scheduled for next week. I mean, it's just the truth of it.
Okay, Wick, thanks for taking the time. I'm done. Maz, you got anything more?
Nope. I appreciate you coming on. And if you guys end up with a, you know, ping pong balls next year, I hope they rig it in your favor.
Well, no, I mean, we're calling Ernst & Young next. I told you, we're going to get someone from Ernst & Young on.
You know, of all people, I was with the global chairman of Ernst & Young the other day, and I'm surprised he doesn't live in Boston or he'd be calling on the other line.
No, we're going to grill the crap out of him.
Yeah, is he a crook?
Okay. He's next. Wick, thanks again for taking the time. We do appreciate
it.
Bye-bye. Wick Grosbeck, Celtics owner, joining us here on Felger Maz. All right, so there's some stuff to unpack there. We're going to repackage it, give you our thoughts. What are your thoughts? Maz thinks the NBA lottery's rigged. I know a lot of you do as well. Wick had a pretty vehement defense of that, but some interesting comments on his team and the future. So we'll re-rack some of those. Get your thoughts. Open lines at 617-779-0985.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench.
And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.